We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Final hour here of Cody and Gold, or Cody and Bold, as Pete Sweeney has dubbed it for today.
That's right.
So he's filling in for Alex Gold. He'll be back on Monday as he takes the holiday weekend off. We got Kramer filling in for Cert on the other side. So it's a real random crew.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I mean, it's not the normal crew.
Okay, there we go.
Not the normal crew. But yeah. We'll bring in a normal guest who you're familiar with.
That's right.
And we all know he's a super nice guy. Columnist over at the Kansas City Star. Va Hager-Gorin, have you ever been called super nice guy as an introductory to coming on a show?
I was just hoping for normal. I was hoping to get that out of the deal. And it sounds like you guys went above and beyond. So here I am.
Who is the nicest guy in media, in your opinion? One of the nicer guys in media?
I didn't come in prepared for that.
Oh.
You know, a guy who's been on my mind that you guys might not know is Chris Gervino in Columbia, who is retired from the station, but will still be working with the Tiger Networks on various things. He is not just among the nicest people in sports media, but positively just one of the nicest people you'll ever come across, which is hard to do in this cynical world we live in.
I got to say, I started on the beat about 6 years ago, and Vahe, I would say that you were probably one of the nicer guys that I've run into, and I'm not the only one to say that. I want to ask you, though, about your Twitter account right now. I mean, you had this nice niche shelter and home theme song thing going. How are we doing there? Is there a theme song for today we should be tapping into?
You know, I stuck with that for the first official, I think it was 55 days that we went through. And then I kind of needed, I needed that lift more than I needed a lift to get back outside, because I was, I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I certainly was getting to a place where I was trying to reach for an imagination I didn't have. But it was fun to do, and actually it was part of a thing that really got me through anyway those first few weeks in a lot of ways, listening to a lot more music, and then kind of getting up in the morning and I'll use the term organically. It sounds kind of fancy, but just trying to listen to some stuff and seeing where my thoughts took me, and popping a song up that either seemed related or upbeat that maybe I could try to pull people back into my music world that extends just to 1983.
Cut it out.
That's good. I was born in 84, so it's good for me to get some of that that early experience radio. Although we grew up on like 50s and 60s rock. We listened to all that stuff growing up.
Look at you.
Well, that and like some of the stuff, like, you know, we also listened to product of my parents here. So I don't know. I've heard a fair amount of Steely Dan in my days. How about that, Vahe? fair amount of that in my youth. We'll talk a little bit about where some of baseball and these other sports are right now, but I'm curious, since the story, you know, floating around Twitter at the moment is the possible naming rights deal for Arrowhead Stadium, neither Pete and I were surprised about the possibility they would support, you know, and neither should fans. I assume we're just going to all keep calling it Arrowhead and move on, and this is kind of not a non-story, but non-impactful story as far as Chiefs fans go, or do you actually see this as a, you know, a turning over of something we weren't expecting?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of that, right? I mean, I guess there's a, you know, a, I don't know if it's a cash flow issue exactly, but
yeah, it's hard.
You know, with everything that's going on, I suppose there may be, inclined towards more revenue streams. I don't know how long this is. We don't even know for sure that it's going to happen, right? But I don't know how long it's been bubbling up. It's been a little bit conspicuous by its absence. Part of the reason I always assumed was that there was a thought of something not worth selling, right? A thing that was obviously you make the money, but you wanted, the brand was so resonant that you didn't want to mess with it. And I think you guys said it, Sam Ellinger said in a tweet, and I do think this is true, maybe you wouldn't call it irrelevant when it happens, it'll show up in some people that feel like they have to say it or stylistically say it by their media mandates, but probably most people will just call it Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of places that exist now. Like, I don't know what sponsor name is on the Rose Bowl, but it's the Rose Bowl, when we, you know. And I feel like we've done that with the Sugar Bowl and stuff. I think it is an interesting thing, like just in our little segment of the business, you know, AP style, newspaper style, sometimes you are, more militant about, different institutions are more militant about making you be adherent to all points of style, right? So I suppose some places will say, well, you can't say it that way. But I do believe that the default will remain Arrowhead in most periodicals.
We assume eventually this will come for Kaufman, too?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's natural to think that this opens a gateway if this comes to pass. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, it's really interesting, though, because of the time we're in and the way the money that makes the world go around is not flowing. So I guess there's different questions with that I haven't really tried to get my arms around yet. But it's really an interesting topic, actually.
We're speaking with Vahe Gregorian. Yeah, they're in a completely different situation. The Kansas City Star here on Cody and Gold. Vahe, we got baseball. Tomorrow, you can go to Kauffman Stadium and you can watch the Royals work out for the first time in a very, very, very long time. Not you, as in the collective you. Sorry, listeners. You personally, Vahe, or I personally can go down to Kauffman Stadium. And I should clarify that before somebody heads down there.
Boy, yeah, you should. There might be some fans. You're going to be out there trying to get media to sign autographs. And I don't think they're going to get access to the players.
No, probably not. But we can actually go down there for the first time. How are you feeling now that we actually, you know, it's 3 weeks before baseball's starting, you know, it's supposed to start. How are you feeling right now versus where maybe you were in the middle of the pandemic about the possibility of baseball getting through this?
Well, I guess I'd call it cautious optimism. I feel like, okay, we're all kind of, you know, the Royals, of course, and everybody affiliated with the organization, but even us in the media, to some degree, you know, putting a sort of tentative first step back out there. We're going to see what it's like to be in a space, even an outdoor space with our masks on for a couple hours. It's just really hard to get your footing. I think the term I've been using this whole time is disoriented, and I think that's how we're going to feel going into this. I will say, though, I want to tip my cap, not just to the Negro Leagues Museum, Baseball Museum, as so many are doing right now with that great program, but I want to tip my cap to Mike Swanson of the Royals, the Vice President for Communications. He took us through what I thought was a really interesting call orientation about all this a couple of days ago, and not only did we learn a lot, but I think also he laid it out in such a way that I think it spoke to me as a, you know, just got to be patient, let this unfold, see how these steps are going. Remember that none of us has ever been through any of this, and let's just kind of try to take it, you know, one little scene and one little phase at a time. What I don't know, if this is probably your actual question that I rambled right through, what I don't really have a feel for is if in 10 days this is just going to be inevitably shut down again in some way. I just don't know. I don't know what's airtight. I don't know what might get through the cracks, even if all these exceedingly cautious protocols are really vigorously embraced. I just don't know. But I figure if we've learned nothing else through this time, it's really about today. So today it looks pretty good. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow.
Vahe, I do want to make a sharp pivot here for a second back to the Chiefs. This Monday marked the 37th anniversary of the passing of running back Joe Delaney. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but looks like you did a story and you went down to Louisiana to see this new memorial. I just wanted to know, and for the benefit of the listeners, what that experience was like and what you learned.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Pete. I drove down there. It's about 9 hours each way. And you know what? It just felt It just felt right to go. I just gotten quite attached to the story and care a lot about the people involved and gotten to know several of the people who were pretty close to Joe, including, of course, his family and the diver, Marvin Dearman, who tried to save him. And long story short, the ceremony was really lovely and touching, and it was a monument donated by a Kansas City company, Tripp Johnson of Johnson Granite Supply. They donated the work, the design, the material, the installation. It was just an awesome thing they did, and it's beautiful. And mostly to the point, though, you know, 50 yards or 75 yards from where Joe died trying to save children, drowned even, you know, in the pursuit of it, even though he couldn't swim. I think there was a bit of a feeling there, and maybe idealistic, but a bit of a feeling of that site now becoming a place of inspiration more than a place of just shattering sadness. And I think it had that impact on me, certainly in the moment. I had the feeling it had that impact on Carolyn Delaney and the family. There were 10 people from the Delaney family there, including the three daughters, Joe's three daughters and grandchildren. That's what I took away from it. I just had a feeling that will feel different to go there now. And even my picture of the site is a little different now with that lovely dedication.
I saw one person even suggest, Vahe, that maybe that's what they could name the J.C. Nichols Fountain after. Now, since they're going through the renaming process, as we start looking at, like, people in Kansas City to, you know, honor through those things. That's one of those stories I'm really glad you wrote, because it feels like it's an easy story to lose in kind of the pantheon of Chiefs history, knowing that that's something that took place, especially because while he was a Chief, it didn't take place here.
Well, that's right, and I think that's maybe gotten in the way a little bit. I've had a number of really interesting responses, including people that were involved with an earlier foundation dedicated to Joe. For different ideas, that the Nichols Fountain. I've heard people describe maybe some element of the new airport, maybe a statue near Arrowhead. This was an idea. 37-yard line could have Chiefs colors instead of white. It's designated as that, and make it a point of constant reinforcement. I hope I'm not giving away anybody's ideas here, but those are the ones that came to mind. And I do think there's a place for that here. And I think also, you know, I know this is a time where some monuments are coming down this country and some renaming is happening in this country. As we think about the sorts of people we want to aspire to be like, my goodness, if you knew this story about Joe Delaney and you didn't even know he was a football player, you'd feel like that. Then you consider the part where he was a budding star with the Chiefs, and that he, by all accounts, died as he lived. Sure seems to me there's a place for a substantial acknowledgement of him in Kansas City somewhere. And what that place should be, I don't know. I don't want it to be one of those things you're competing for who should get what recognition. But I just think his was such a singular legacy that it really needs to be considered.
Seems a little inconsequential considering the story of Joe and the memories, but this is something that fans often care about, and I know that from both traffic numbers and in talking to folks. And this is a number 37, that hasn't been worn since, but it hasn't been officially retired by the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you surprised by that? Would you like to see that happen for Kansas City?
I would like to see it happen, and what I don't know, though, as much as I've delved into the history of Joe and things down there, what I don't really know is why it's sort of an unstated, unofficial, can't-be-worn number instead of, yeah, we're retiring his number. I mean, I get that he was only with the team two full seasons, but I don't really think that's the essence of the question here. I mean, he was not only a... you know, one of the few bright spots, as I seem to recall, of those teams in those days. But also, I look at him as part of the DNA of the Chiefs' history. And why wouldn't you want to celebrate that properly?
Vahe Gregorian over the Kansas City Star. Vahe, we really do appreciate the time, as always. And We hope to catch up with you again here soon, and maybe I'll see you at a Kauffman here in the next few weeks. I don't think I'm making out tomorrow, but I'm gonna try to at least watch some intra-squad game here in the next few weeks because I don't know, I'm jonesing.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be out there tomorrow, and I will. You might not be able to make me out. I'm gonna try to be like Ned Yost, what do you call himself, the hippie bank robber, with a mask on and some sunglasses. So yeah, I may be able to go incognito, but I'll look forward to seeing you in person instead of on these Zoom calls. But I am always glad to see you guys mugged.
Yeah, and I guess that, you know, I got to let you, one more question before you go, Vahe, because I do miss, we do miss seeing each other in person. But you mentioned the mask, and now I'm curious, what prints on your mask?
What's on my mask?
Yeah.
I haven't done that. I haven't done it. We did go one night, they had a prayer on Truce thing where you could go on the east side of Truce and just sort of stand in silent reverence for all the racial injustice and just be there. And I think Cindy, my wife, attached a unity on my mask and hope on hers. So I guess that would be what I'd like to be transmitting out, but I have not done any of the fancy stitch work myself.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping for, you know, like you getting the one from Ray Gun that says to keep Patrick Holmes safe or dog bones or something.
Little 1980 tie-dye, little 80s tie-dye.
Grateful Dead feel.
Sure, 70s.
You know what, Pete? We've talked Springsteen before a little bit, haven't we? Maybe some kind of Born to Run.
Now that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, or I'm looking at a Danny Duffy's Dog Sadie's bobblehead across the room. Did you guys ever hear the joke?
Then you could walk to the K.
Tell this on the air, but this is a joke. Did you ever hear this one about the insomniac, agnostic, dyslexic?
No.
Person stayed up all night wondering if there really is a dog. I'll pull a George Costanza on that one. Say I'm out. Who knows what awful thing I said?
Vahe, we appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
He's at V Gregorian on Twitter and has a link where you can get all of his Kansas City Star content. And I'd encourage you to go read Chiefs Joe Delaney, properly memorialized in Louisiana. Chiefs should file a suit in KC. That was his article. It said he drove 9 hours back and forth to Louisiana to get this story done and really shows a glimpse of what this means to that community and maybe what can be done here in Kansas City.
No, it was a tremendous article. And if you followed some of just his social media content, as you said, as he went down there to watch it, what a tremendous thing to put up. But like it is... His story, again, if you just don't know it, I mean, imagine trying to save children from drowning when you yourself cannot swim.
Right.
I mean, that alone says enough about the kind of person he was. And I think that that's what's been so incredible to follow that stuff from Vahe Gregorian, who's continued to keep his name in Kansas City Chiefs memories.
Yeah, it's been really unique, and that's why I was wondering his take on it, where the team has not allowed it to be
worn. They don't give anybody the number, but they don't retire it.
It's not officially retired. It's one of those... mysterious questions, unspoken questions of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sure why that is, and maybe now that you see a monument and some of this gaining steam, it's been 37 years since number 37's been worn. If there was any time to maybe make it official or have some type of ceremony, maybe where you do add a statue of Joe around what would be GEHA State Field at Arrowhead Stadium, maybe now's the time.
It'd be cool.
I'm not going to ever be used to calling it that, by the way.
It's too long.
It is. It's a mouthful.
Yeehaw!
I actually like that. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, we're going to go with that instead, for at least the time being. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we'll get you what's trending and talking about the Chiefs' possible name change, or at least stadium name change, coming their way, not the actual team. How important Chris Jones is. But first, let's get a little pop culture corner.
Pop culture corner.
This is usually Serta's thing, as you can imagine.
This is some music.
I have no idea if Kramer even follows things in pop culture, but we're gonna make him do it anyway.
I follow wrestling, so I guess if that's pop culture, that's pop. I don't think you'd classify that. But we all know who Jason Momoa is. If you don't, he's better known for his Game of Thrones and Aquaman. He's also in that Super Bowl commercial where he's taking his skin off, which he's trying to relax better. But he's in a next role. Do you guys know what do you think his next role would possibly be in?
Assuming some super strong dude in an action movie.
This was the horseman from Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
The horse guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Long hair.
You gotta think he's gonna play like...
Gotta be a superhero. Is it Hercules?
Frosty the Snowman.
Well, just like Hercules.
So close.
How about that?
So close.
Wait, he's playing the snowman?
Yes, CGI version of it. So it's not physically him, but it's his voice playing the CGI version of Frosty the Snowman in an upcoming live-action movie.
They're going to be an incredibly fit Frosty.
Why
I'm just thinking.
Why would you cast Momoa? Part of his appeal, obviously, is his incredible shit. Why would you cast him as a snowman? As a CGI snowman.
You got to think, too, of all the things that are out of shape, a snowman is just so round. I mean, there's no shape but round for its stomach area.
Yeah.
And so this would be the absolute
wrong. He's just getting thicker on the bottom, man.
Right.
Well, if it's like the Super Bowl commercial, I mean, he may not be what we think he is, all big, buff, and burly. He's going to be balding and skinny and scrawny.
I would like to see, for what it's worth, I mean, count me in for a muscular snowman. I would like to see what that looks like.
It seems like it'd be kind of scary, doesn't it?
Terrifying.
Like, they're a little more intimidating when they're all, beefed up to come get you.
Is this a remake of the Frosty, a scary version, or is this just classic?
I think this is a classic. This might be going kid-friendly.
Wow. Well, PG.
Now, if it was
here's the good news. Momoa is often shirtless, and we got to think snowmen are often shirtless.
It's true.
So they're at least fitting some part of this.
It is rare you see a shirt on a snowman. It does happen, though. We get, at Arrowhead Pride, a couple submissions per year of snowmen with a Patrick Mahomes jersey on it, which is interesting. A lot of times now they'll put some twigs for the what would be the Mahomes or the week of the Super Bowl, the Alex Gold. That haircut that he has. I don't know what you would call that. I think Heidi Gardner recently called it the fuzzy mohawk. So that's what I'm talking about.
The fuzzy mohawk.
Right.
That's a decent nickname for it.
Yeah. So you can decorate a snowman, right?
And do you want to build one?
I would love to build a snowman.
Who's a more famous snowman now? Frosty or Olaf?
Oh, it's still Frosty.
I've never seen Frozen.
It's still Frosty.
But in about 20 years, when all these kids who grew up on Frozen.
Well, the other day,
my kid definitely knows who Olaf is and
is yet. They didn't know Missy Elliott on this TikTok. And I said, this would not be a real TikTok.
Oh, my gosh.
How old am I? 400? How do you not know who Missy Elliott is? That's how I feel about Frosty. Frosty is timeless.
You not know
Frosty
like
forever.
You got, so I need to teach my kids who Frosty the Snowman is?
And Missy Elliott.
Well, it's so weird that you said that. I swear to you, 4 days ago, Emma, my wife, showed me a Missy Elliott patch that a friend shop of mine in Westport makes that we were going to put on Ruby's backpack. So, just a few days ago, we were looking at a Missy Elliott a la 90s music videos patch to stick on Ruby's backpack from our friends over at Opal and Gold. So...
Well, that honestly is...
Does that feel like the right decision then?
Yeah. Is it worth it? Let her work it. Let her put her thing down and flip it in reverse it, Cody. How about that?
I got to find the photo for you.
Nice.
Just so you can see it. That was well played. Matter of fact, we're going to leave on that. When we come back, we'll get you what's trending here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one for what's trending. Reports are Kansas City is closing in on a deal to have a naming rights partner for Arrowhead Stadium. That, according to Terry Lefton over at the Sports Business Journal. The Government Employees Health Association, don't worry, they've got an acronym, GEHA, would sponsor the deal, according to this. They already have a deal with Patrick Mahomes and with the Chiefs individually. Their corporate headquarters is in the vicinity of Arrowhead Stadium, and presumably the small insurance dealer would name the stadium something like GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Most fans don't love it, but I think most of us understand that these things were going... when Mile High Stadium got named, you knew it was coming for you eventually.
Can't wait for the tailgate, right? I mean, you're going to be going to your buddy. Hey, finish up that shotgun. We got to go into the Geech. It's time. It's time to see Mahomes.
That sounds like something gross and sexual, and we should not call it the Geech. Beach.
Now, most
that is not the one I'm going
most
for.
Most people will still call it Arrowhead, no matter what. It could be any company.
Yeehaw!
And
that's where we're going with.
Like Mile High in Denver. It's okay. It's going to be a little money made off this. It'll be in print a lot, but
no, they're
be
not big. Poor. Yes, they could afford to not have a naming rights stadium. Yes, this is also what businesses do.
Lefton.
That's right. There you go. Giha. Giddy up. The next, what's trending? Sporting. KC has an unconfirmed positive COVID test. It's positive. Sean Goodwin. Peter Vermees says unconfirmed positive test for COVID. He doesn't say whether it's a player or staff, but says it could potentially be a false positive. Said the person has only been tested once. We'll get second test results in the next couple of days. You saw six come out of FC Dallas, which is
in Orlando. Sporting's not even in Orlando. They don't leave till Sunday.
Yeah. FC Dallas is Clark Hunt's MLS team. So that's where you get some relation to Kansas City. But right. So Sporting headed to Orlando, suddenly a COVID hotbed.
Of course it is. All these sports, it just feels like if this were normal life and money went on the line, we definitely wouldn't be playing any of these.
Of all the hotbeds that I want to visit, it's the COVID hotbed the least for me. I don't know about you.
That's your least favorite hotbed?
Right now, at least.
Yeah. You know? Choose several other hotbeds of activity versus
absolutely
COVID-related.
No, thank you.
So Arizona, Texas, and Florida pretty much are where we're avoiding right now. Number three for what's trending, the NFL is shortening its preseason because of COVID. No longer will it be four games. Instead, it will be just two. Some speculation that it could be less than that, partially because this hasn't even been agreed upon. Essentially, this got leaked out in the media yesterday that the NFL is going to take it down to two. But let me tell you this. The fact that they haven't negotiated that with players doesn't mean anything, because why would the players ever disagree with less preseason games? Unless you're some dude on the bottom part of the roster who thought he was going to be guy 53, or I don't know, in this case, guy 67, whoever, right. And who knows what the rosters are going to look like. Unless you thought you were that guy, two preseason games to four is good. If there's a few good things to come out of COVID, less preseason football is it.
You're right about the one player who's hurt in it is that guy who is auditioning for 32 teams.
The guy who might earn the spot over the 53 guy.
But in a world of damage that COVID has done, and please take this as a joke, this is the one good thing. The preseason to me, after you get past the first couple minutes, is, hey, when is the regular season going to start? You get football for a second, and you just want the regular season from that point. With the new way that the NFL is planning to add a regular season game next year, it seemed like there were going to be less preseason games anyway. I would be stunned if we ever again see four preseason games. I think this is the end.
You're probably right. To me, it's a lot like those other rules we see. Like, yeah, the DH is here to stay, even though they haven't agreed to it in the next collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
It's here forever. Just accept it.
Pitchers batting stinks. That's a whole other topic. The Washington football team could be forced to change their name. This is from Pro Football Talk. 87 investment firms asked Nike, FedEx, Pepsi to stop doing business with the Washington franchise. So let me tell you something. When it starts to impact the money, that's when you see change. Follow the money. It's a phrase that I live by frequently in sports, and if anything's going to get anything done, it's advertisers. And this could be the first time that you see it getting real close to it being shifted.
Yeah. If they take money away from them, there it is. This isn't what's trending, but here's the photo of that Missy Elliott enamel pin.
Couldn't be better. It's this super duper fly.
Should we put that on Ruby's school backpack?
I'd be upset if you didn't.
I mean, at this point, right?
I'd be upset if you didn't.
Hopefully this will actually force some change. They should just change the name. It's pretty obvious. Just sell a bunch of new merch with the new team name on it.
Washington Warriors, here we come.
It's fairly, I mean, I know it sounds like, it's not that easy. I'm like, nah, it's that easy. Just change it.
I would even maybe go as far as to say you have the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants. The Warriors might be the best name in the division.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe. Giants is no good.
It's just a classic football name. Yeah. Cowboys, the only people who like Cowboys are the Cowboys fans. Warriors is cool.
Warriors is cooler.
Steph Curry made Warriors cool again. Now it's a cool name. Take it in Washington. Start your franchise
over. Plus
it's
a good name for football.
And Ron Rivera is the man. He's the man. Start over completely. Let this be a new chapter of your franchise, one of success and not having to deal with all this criticism.
Number five for what's trending. Rob Manfred is trying to walk back some comments earlier, Pete, Remember when I played that clip for you earlier?
Yeah.
About how he said it was only going to be a 60-game season. Well, let me remind you what he said, and then I'll tell you how he tried to walk it back to Bob Nightingale.
Everybody has certain things that you accept as really good advice. One of the pieces of advice we received early on from the medical experts, the pandemic experts that we've been working with, is that by the end of September, the risk of another spike and a shutdown was going up dramatically. Given that, one of our guiding principles, we were going to finish no later than September 27th, which was the scheduled date, and we were going to play the postseason on its normal calendar.
Like, he's essentially saying that, and that's, you know, that's part of it, but he was like, it was going to be 60 games no matter what. Now, he's trying to clarify by saying, well, we meant because of the COVID spike. I mean, then why were you negotiating? If it was 60 or nothing, like, they're going to play the clip of him saying it was 60 games anyway, no matter what was going to happen, that's what it was going to be, then they probably should have done it. Also, all their actions match up with that. They mentioned an 80-game season prorated, 72-game season prorated, which would have been the same amount of salary as what? A 60-game season. There's way too much smoke here for him to try to walk it back now.
Here's the deal. Someone needs to sit Rob down and say, Robbie boy, listen, guy,
Robbie,
come here for a second. This Dan Patrick thing, this isn't just a phone call between you guys. This show is on YouTube. Don't give the inner workings of how you were trying to portray it from an owner's side and how you always knew it was going to be 60 games and all of this and all of that. You're looking like an idiot. Stop, Rob. Stop. All right. Last thing. Russell Wilson and Antonio Brown were working out together. How about that? Brown to be a Seahawk? ?
I mean, this is like the fourth team he's worked out with, right? He hasn't signed with any of them?
That's the beauty of being a free agent.
He looks kind of slow in that video. As a non-expert.
Come on.
Looked a little slow.
I'm agreeing with you on that. He does look a little slow.
Looked a little slow.
Put a little few pounds on.
Come on. Come on.
The feet weren't as quick.
The difference between Antonio Brown and random receiver who runs into trouble off the street is Antonio Brown is a top five wide receiver, despite what the Sandman and Cody are telling you right now. So it's worth watching where he ends up, especially if you're a Chiefs fan. Whether or not that's the Baltimore Ravens, I think, is a big deal.
That could arguably be one of their two only slight weak spots on the entire roster, is an established elite level wide receiver.
You're not a big Hollywood Brown guy?
It's just really early to try to crown him as that. I'm saying that could be arguably. The only other one I would say is, what, safety? I mean, pretty locked at corner, really good at linebacker, good on the defensive line, have running backs, have a quarterback, have an offensive line. Like, wide receiver is one of the few, like, yeah, maybe they could do a little better there.
Safety, man. Earl Thomas, bullet dodged.
I know.
Thanks, Baltimore. Thank you.
Yeah, at least got out of that. That's it for what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Before we talk more about, you know, I don't know, whatever we want to do. We got a half hour left, and then it's
vacation time.
Probably some more Chris Jones, I guess, whatever.
Screw it.
I do have to give you our weekend movie nomination results. We usually wait for these until Friday. Pete has given us 3. He was 0-for. We were trying to help him, give him a winner.
How do we do?
The results for the weekend movie nominations. In last place, Binkley's suggestion of Midway for patriotic movies. In second to last place, my movie, Captain America, Winter Soldier. People not seeing that patriotic enough. In second place, it's between you and Kramer for the title.
Come on,
Pete.
No.
Independence Day with 32% of the vote, and Kramer takes it down with The Sandlot.
Come on, Kramer.
With 41% of the vote.
The Sandman picks The Sandlot.
It makes sense, right?
He took it down, man. Second, though, Pete. You finished second.
God, Independence Day feels like
it couldn't lose.
Should be like a best bet. Will Smith.
I thought you were going to do the whole speech if you won.
If I won, I came in second place. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world, and you will be launching the largest aerial battle in this history of mankind. Mankind. That word should have a new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We'll be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's faith that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom, not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, But as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going on to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Should have did it. Should have did the speech before the vote.
To now give looking you a chance?
Back. Yeah. Yeah. Now looking back. I mean, now that you do the speech, the people out there who voted for The Sandlot, which is a great movie. I mean, don't get me wrong. They would have.
How did they not choose Independence Day on Independence Day weekend?
I don't know.
This felt like the layup of layups.
Right.
See, I tried to help you, Pete. I tried to.
But right. Baseball's America.
You're
man.
Killing me, Smalls. That's the real thing, right?
We
there.
Can just eliminate Kramer's and watch Independence Day anyway. I mean, who's stopping us?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what Kramer says. I mean, Serta is the full time producer of the show, right? On Cody and Bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, gonna make us watch The Sandlot? No. No. Seen The Sandlot plenty of times.
Yeah, this from the text line. What's the sponsor on it?
The Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line.
This from the 785 Chills Pete Chills. Yeah, Chills. You're welcome.
See?
And happy 4th of July to you.
I think because you gave the speech, we'll just declare it the winner anyway. Okay, and you can try again next week for both the popular vote and the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
We're just giving you the show vote as an Independence Day as the winner, no matter of what the people of Twitter say.
I like how Kent can win one, but not you, Pete.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know if you need to go below the belt. You can't even see below the belt in the way the studio set up. Look, I'll try my best next week. This was the best showing that I've had after picking the Lake House and Sleepless in Seattle. So there you go, Independence Day. I hope you guys can enjoy that. I wish I had in front of me where you can find Independence Day. I would bet it's on Hulu or Netflix or something like it.
I would think so, right?
Yeah. It might be on AMC all day on the 4th.
Mm.
Is that like a Christmas story? They just put it on?
It might be. I saw it the other day on AMC. I stayed up like around 1 o'clock to watch it in the morning. Like, I haven't watched this in a while. Great movie.
And you still voted for your own?
Staying up late.
I actually voted for Pete.
Staying up till 1 a.m. to watch a movie. That's the best part of being a grown-up, right? That is such a ridiculous decision.
Well, it started at 1 a.m.
Yeah. And you just stay up through the night. Look, why not? Because that's the decision you make. Good for you, Kramer. Good job.
This is like the constant fight I have with myself where I'm just like, someone asked the other day on Twitter, what's the thing you say to yourself before you make a bad decision?
Right.
And my answer was always like, when we'd be drinking, I'd be like, that's future Cody's problem and F that guy. Like, I don't care about future Cody.
Right.
He can deal with this problem later.
That's good. Yeah.
And then like, but current, God, bad Cody's just the worst person. He just constantly puts me in horrible situations.
Right here near the studio, there's a Chick-fil-A and a Panera Bread. And I was grabbing some breakfast earlier this morning and I've been doing pretty good with the diet. I gained Mahomes 30. You know, Mahomes content, you got to pump out 24/7. I got no time to work out. I gained some poundage, so I'm working on it, right? You know, you probably should go Panera Bread. It's a little bit of a healthier option, but I just have not had a spicy chicken biscuit in a long time.
You got it grilled.
And it is Independence Day, so I went and got, in the spirit of freedom,
a
Chick-fil-A this morning.
You got to get the fried food. This is America's holiday.
Well, I mean, I worked at the Chick-fil-A for 3 years, so I know the ins and outs of stuff.
My pleasure.
I actually got to make Patrick Mahomes a sandwich at one point.
Do they tell you to say my pleasure?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
You know what they've started recently? Have you noticed? So I went to Chick-fil-A maybe like a month ago. They've started with like the small talk if you have to wait. Like, so like when you worked there, Kramer, maybe didn't do this, but they do this now where they're like, so what do you got going on this weekend? I don't think that's any of your business.
They do that like, at a...
It's one thing they to do say, that at, my pleasure. I don't know that I need to go through my weekend plans with you.
There's a little coffee shop I like that is like just off the plaza. It's called Hi Hat.
I'm in Hi Hat. That's tiny.
They are a classic, what are you going on? What you got going on? And it's like, man, that is nice. I don't know. Just hanging out and trying to get a coffee. And I'm surprised you care about that.
you know they don't, right?
I'm really surprised you care about that.
You don't know that they don't care about what I got going on this weekend.
See, I think it's funny. When people like are expecting me to say my pleasure, I usually just point at them and said, you got it.
Good for you. It's freedom.
Change it up. They were expecting the my pleasure.
There's not a camera or an audio mic on you. This isn't The Wire.
Plus, I worked in the kitchen, so it's not like when I wanted to go up there and get some water. It's the only time I'd see people.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, good. Learning more things about Kramer here every day.
Maybe there's a...
The restaurant I used to work at is closed, Pete. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to bartend twice a year now?
Hooters. You used to work at Hooters, didn't you?
They're still open.
Okay.
That business would never go out.
All right. If you say so, man. All right.
Sad. It's sad. We only have a few minutes left in the show before we got to hand things off and off for the rest of the holiday weekend. So why not talk about Chris Jones one more time? We got Pete Sweeney in.
Yeah.
Talking about how important he is. I said yesterday, I think he's the most important player on the defense. Adam Schein took it a little further than that.
I think Chris Jones is the second most important player on the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, number one, best, most important player in all of sports. But we had this conversation in real time last year. Chris Jones is everything to that defense. He's more important than Honey Badger, more important big picture than Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. So here's hoping by the July 15th deadline, Kansas City and Chris Jones get it done. But I don't think he would ever pull a Le'Veon Bell. And in some way, shape, or form, he will end up playing for the Chiefs, and they will end up winning a Super Bowl.
Second most important player on the team, Pete. I think he's their best defensive player. There's no way I would take it that far.
Big fan, Adam Schein, go Orange, but he's wrong here.
Oh, he's a Q's guy, huh?
So I go like this. Patrick Mahomes, of course. This is going to surprise people. Tyreek Hill is next. Travis Kelce.
Even more than Kelce. That's where I have a hard time, because Kelce is so vital to the way this offense works.
Is Hill.
I know. The whole deep passing game.
That early Chiefs last year without Hill for about five games, if you notice, that team was not maybe even above average. That felt like an average-ish, maybe slightly above average team. Hill makes this offense run, and then Travis Kelce's right after him. I'm not saying it's too different. I would give Hill the nod by like an inch. If this was a horse race, by a nose. I would say by a nose.
Sure.
So anyway, those two guys. Then my first defensive player comes at number four on the team, because guess what? The offense is what makes this team run, and a lot of times they're going to win by so many points given how great of a machine this offense is that the defense can... It can't be bad, but it could just be all right. Whatever. And we saw that last year. It's Tyrann Mathieu. It isn't even Chris Jones. So while I understand Adam's sentiment, and Chris Jones played a big role for the Chiefs, he's gotten a ton of sacks for them, led them in sacks for the past 2 years. He is important. You certainly are a better team with Chris Jones than not. But let's pluck Chris Jones out of this. Remember we did Choose Your Own Adventure before? Let's say we chose the idea that we're going to say, let's take away that tag, rescind him, let him become a free agent. The Chiefs are still very much Super Bowl contenders. It's not like you're taking away Chris Jones and all of a sudden you're still not the best team in the AFC. We've seen what Steve Spagnuolo has done with this defense, and it would continue to grow. That's just, and they're better with Jones. I'm not saying
that.
So
you think Manfred's more important in the Spagnuolo defense versus Chris Jones in the Spagnuolo defense? Mathieu, sorry.
Yes, because Chris Jones is a house. He's a force. He's awesome. Mathieu makes other players better. Rashad Fenton maybe wouldn't be as good. Charvarius Ward maybe wouldn't be as good. I don't think Juan Thornhill would be nearly as good as they are without Mathieu and his guidance and what he's doing for that secondary. And they feel comfortable waiting to the fourth round. And this was high for them for a cornerback to take a guy like Legarius Sneed. And I think that's where they're at. Chris Jones, it's a good player, but you have some options there. And a lot of the pressure when it comes to getting to the quarterback comes on the edge for this team. And they have Alex Okafor, who's gunning for a comeback year. They have Frank Clark. They have other options there. Tano Passanio's coming into his own.
I just feel like all those guys' life is made so much easier because Chris Jones is that force you talked about.
No doubt, but you're talking... You asked me, or you didn't ask me, but you played for me the most important player.
He's not the most important. It goes three players on offense before.
Yes, I would be very concerned if the Chiefs lost Mahomes, if they lost Kelce or Hill. You're concerned. You were significantly concerned. I think that's, you know, you saw it last summer for very different reasons.
Or Schwartz.
People were upset about
it. I don't mean to even like
Hill. Yeah, Schwartz is another one. Schwartz could be in the mix for even greater of importance because of how important the offense is for this team. Than Jones. Jones is, he's critical, but he's not the most critical after Patrick Mahomes. This isn't a completely different team if you pluck out Chris Jones.
No, it's a little bit different. Let's get to our weekend slate before we finish up the show.
Weekend slate.
913-576-7610 is the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line. You can let us know what you're doing do this usually on Fridays, Pete, but it's a Thursday and I'm not here tomorrow, so we're going to do it now.
I like
all
that.
All I have going on is a whole lot of home projects.
Oh, my.
Like, it's the saddest 4th of July. I know, but they need to get done. I'm not going anywhere yet. My brother closed on a lake house that I can go visit, but he just closed on, so I can't just be inviting myself down on weekend one. I got to think weekend two or three
before
I do that. And I got a lot of stuff I got to get done around the house. Like, it's a lot of, like, sad adulting, cooking. I've got my anniversary this weekend, so, you know, I'll cook my wife a nice dinner. I'm going to make some macarons, maybe.
You always just get a little too fancy on the Instagram with the cooking, right? It's like he's showing off and wants to make everyone else look bad. I know I just talked about how I am.
What are you
doing? I'm on a diet. We were originally going to go to a barbecue, but with the spike in COVID, I'm a little worried. You know, if you're still doing your barbecue, I'm not judging you. Do it. I'm just a little bit worried right now. And so just going to have a low-key 4th of July. Me and the lady trying to make a pasta quartet.
Nice.
Four different pastas. Like you would see at one of my favorite Kansas City restaurants, Lydia's. They do the trio. We're going to try to do 4 half pounds of different pasta.
What if I send you a recipe for scratch garlic bread? You could make that to go with it.
Like it. Seems a little scary and a little daunting, no doubt about it, but willing to try. I will rise to the occasion every time. You know, I think you probably learned that when I said the Independence Day speech just a few moments ago. So.
Yeah, appreciate that. I guess we probably should get to the final word.
What is it?
I don't know. Let's get to the final word.
The final word.
We didn't even ask Kramer what he was doing for
doesn't
his
matter.
Weekend.
Doesn't matter. After he showed me up in the
yeah,
boat,
he did.
Last appearance for him on Cody and Bolt. I'll tell you that much.
We have like a different producer going forward. Right. I mean, there's nothing other than saying, please be safe on the 4th of July. I don't really have a big takeaway from you. Fireworks are dangerous, so be careful with them. I'm probably going to watch Hamilton on Disney Plus tomorrow, let's be honest. And other than that, I'm just going to have a nice, low-key 4th of July with the fam.
Yeah, word to the wise, and especially if your name is Christopher Jones out there. Let me tell you about a friend of mine named Jason Pierre Paul on the 4th of July.
A lesson to be learned?
About to make a lot of money in New York.
See, I'll try to make it up to St. Joe, but yeah. Try to hit the links.
And he decided to play around with some fireworks. Left 4th of July, so July 3rd he had a hand, and on July 5th he had half a hand. So just be careful out there. If you're going to set fireworks off, know what you're doing, make sure it's legal, right? Legality is good, and I know it's not always going to be the case, but just be careful. Be careful out there, man. It's not worth it, especially if you're about to make millions and millions and millions of dollars, especially you, Chris Jones.
Or you use your hands playing sports. Right. Either way.
Yeah.
Just a piece of
steer
advice.
Clear.
Pete, appreciate you filling in, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did.
I will. I did. And I'll enjoy the weekend as much as you do. Thanks to Kramer as well. We'll coming up. We'll be back on Monday, taking tomorrow off. But the drive's coming up next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.